A fairy tale castle in glowing blue light. Walt Disney Pictures. A flashing light cuts an arc over the castle. Cast in an inky blue light, a vast snow-covered landscape. An aeroplane flies low over the shadowy peaks. On board...
I'm getting something on the sonar!
What is it?
I'm getting strong readings from underneath the cap rock, sir!
Possible oil flow?
Still analyzing!
Wearing headphones, the seismic interpreter knits his brow. Sound waves pulse on a monitor.
Sounds like a...
Bemused, he shrugs.
Tiny hammers!
The engineer looks round at him sharply. The plane flies on. Deep beneath the snow-covered Arctic rock and the subterranean ice is a massive cavern. Elfsburg, a magical city, nestles at the bottom. The roofs of its fairy tale houses are covered in snow. People whiz through the air with jetpacks on their backs. Walt Disney Pictures presents Tim Allen, The Santa Claus 2, an Outlaw Productions Boxing Cat Films production. In Elfsburg's snow-carpeted main square, elves pull toboggans back and forth laden with packages. There's a small circular ice rink, and large fantastical buildings edging the square. One of these buildings is fronted with colourful stained glass windows. Two sets of stairs curve up to the front of the building and meet at the top. Judge Reinhold, Wendy Crewson, Elizabeth Mitchell, David Krumholtz, Eric Lloyd, Spencer Breslin, and Liliana Moomi. Inside the ornate building, Santa's workshop is a hive of activity. Elves, who look like children of different ages, bustle about busily making all sorts of toys. Casting by Jackie Birch, music supervisor Frankie Pine, music by George S. Clinton, costume designer Ingrid Ferrin. A line of smiling elves gleefully hammer wooden toys. Others hammer down the funnels on toy trains. In fact, there's a whole lot of hammering going on. Special makeup and animatronic effects designed and created by Alec Gillis and Tom Woodruff Jr. A group of girl elves tie ribbons around the necks of fluffy teddy bears. Dolls' houses pass along a conveyor belt and the finishing touches are made. A row of jack-in-the-boxes pop up. Cuddly ducks sit on a conveyor belt and travel backwards up a steep slope. Film editor David Finfer. Executive producer William W. Wilson III. Story by Leo Benvenuti and Steve Rudnick. Directed by Michael Lembeck. In the workshop control room, a female elf watches the aeroplane on a radar monitor. She turns to Bernard, a particularly tall elf with his dark hair in ringlets.
They're coming right at us!
Take us to ElfCon 3!
Take us to ElfCon 3!
Bernard sits at a bank of switches and turns a rotating handle on a panel. Illuminated in green, the words ElfCon 4 disappear and the words ElfCon 3 are highlighted below it. In the main hall of the workshop, the elves look up fearfully as the alarm sounds. In the control room, Bernard stares in horror at the radar monitor.
These guys aren't stopping. Take us to ElfCon 2!
Let's go to ElfCon 2!
In orange, ElfCon 2 is now illuminated. Levers are pushed and buttons are pressed. Bernard hits a switch and looks wide-eyed at the monitor as the plane flies closer. Elsewhere, Santa pulls on his red suit and braces and races off. In the control room, the elves glance nervously at each other as the floor opens up and a giant periscope emerges. Santa rides up on a platform around the middle of the periscope's long pole. The top of the red and white striped periscope bursts through the Earth's snowy surface. A glass globe at the top opens and the viewfinder extends. Below in the control room, Santa peers through the periscope and sees the approaching plane.
We have a partridge in a pear tree.
Yep.
You take us to ElfCon 1. Let's rig for silent running. Look alive, everybody.
Okay, we're at ElfCon 1.
On the panel, ElfCon 1 is highlighted in red. In a frantic rush of activity, more buttons are pressed, knobs are turned, and levers pushed. Santa removes his military beret and stands behind Bernard, who sits gazing at the radar monitor. The plane is still heading towards them. The other elves wait anxiously, wiping away beads of sweat. A little red-headed elf sighs deeply. They all look up as the plane flies overhead. On board...
I lost it!
What do you mean you lost it?
Wait!
The seismic interpreter's wide-eyed.
What the...
Sound waves dance across the monitor. The interpreter pulls off his headphones.
Sir, you're gonna want to hear this.
He flicks some switches.
You know you better watch out. You better not cry.
In Elfsburg, in the control room.
Find out where that music's coming from.
Okay.
Santa glances around him. The red-haired elf turns a handle and blueprint images of Elfsburg appear on a screen. The elf homes in on a building housing Santa's workshop and a red light flashes.
Santa, I've got it on a locator.
Santa and Bernard hurry over and look at the locator screen. The red light pulses at one end of the building. Santa turns to Bernard and they go. On the aeroplane, the seismic interpreter and the engineer look perplexed. The pilot is grooving in his seat. Santa and Bernard run down a candy cane corridor and into the stables. A little girl elf stands by a reindeer she was feeding. Santa points towards large double doors which slowly swing open. Beyond the doors, a little round-faced elf wearing glasses lies back in a sleigh holding a musical toy Father Christmas. Santa and Bernard rush over and Santa turns off the musical toy. In the plane.
What now? It's just gone.
Oh, in the middle of a chorus.
Nobody needs to know about this, right?
Maybe we should mention the Smokey Robinson thing, sir. Just my opinion.
Elfsburg.
We're at Elfcon 4. All
clear. Curtis, let me see if we get you a nice set of headphones this Christmas. It's all right, everybody. Let's get back to work.
Curtis, you're 900 years old. Grow up.
Bernard.
Curtis scowls at Bernard, who reluctantly hurries after Santa. Curtis catches up with them.
You know, I didn't break any of the rules, according to the Santa handbook.
The handbook? Curtis, do you go pee-pee with that thing?
It says elves are encouraged to listen to music. Makes them more creative, more productive, and, well, more alert. Look out!
They duck as a flying reindeer nearly hits them. The reindeer loses momentum and falls from the sky. The elves look concerned.
It's okay.
They head towards where the reindeer fell.
Is he all right?
He's okay, Santa.
Wow. That's going to leave a mark. Is that Blitzen? Looks like Prancer. Who is that?
It was Chet, one of our reindeer in training.
Oh. Well, please tell me that it's early in his training. Wow, nice fall.
Santa goes. Bernard.
Curtis, when are you going to tell him?
Not now.
Curtis scampers off after Santa. Bernard follows him. A tall building is illuminated in the darkness. The trees and bushes around it are sprinkled with snow. Inside the building, someone turns out a light. On the flat roof, a teenage boy and girl jog towards a triangular skylight. The boy, carrying a backpack, opens the skylight. The girl watches him.
It's so cold up here, Charlie. How can you not be freezing?
You have not seen cold. You see where my dad lives.
You shouldn't be embarrassed. My parents are divorced, too, and it's no big deal.
I'm not embarrassed.
Then why don't you ever talk about your dad?
He doesn't like me to, okay? It's complicated.
What, does he aspire or something?
No, he works with toys and these little people. Kids. You know, can we just do what we came here to do?
Sure.
Charlie fixes an abseiling rope to a bar. The other end is fixed to himself.
All right.
Charlie, this is really dangerous. Someone could catch us at any moment.
He gazes up at her.
Kind of exciting.
Well, you know, Danielle, I may not come out as alive. So in case we don't see each other again.
He's perched just inside the skylight. Danielle leans forward to kiss him. Charlie falls into a gym hall, but the rope stops him.
Are you okay?
He gives her a thumbs up. She waves down at him. Dangling in midair, Charlie takes out a can of spray paint and shakes it. He covers his mouth and nose with his scarf and starts to spray the wall. A cold-looking Danielle, her long hair in two ponytails, watches from the skylight above. Charlie glances up at her.
Almost done.
I'm not leaving.
They share a smile.
I've been a naughty boy.
Charlie's graffiti is nearly complete. Stylized letters make up the word Newman. After it comes an equal sign and then a Christmas tree within a red circle, a red line through it. Charlie admires his work, then looks up at Danielle, giving her a little wave, before putting the finishing touches to his artwork. A ladder hits the wall beside him. Charlie looks down, his smile gone. An attractive young blonde woman appears and eyes him coldly.
Hello, Charlie. Hello, Principal Newman.
He swallows as she stares at him, tapping her finger against the ladder. In Elfsburg, Santa's lying under a toy car.
Okay, try it now.
Elf pulls a cord. Santa emerges.
Okay, all right. Here's what we need. You gotta get one more bolt on that flange down there, and it's ready for Christmas. Good work, guys.
Santa leans down to some other elves.
Perfect job on the suspension, you guys. Stick it outside the box. I love it.
A little girl elf carrying a basket steps up to Santa.
Do you want a cookie, Santa?
Do I want a cookie? Yes. What's fresh? Ooh, sweet just like you.
He takes a cookie and potters on through the workshop. He stops to watch an elf who's having trouble with a spring-wound toy kangaroo, which keeps toppling over.
Alexander, let's think. Take the hat off.
Alexander removes the hat and the kangaroo jumps perfectly.
Too much counterweight.
Alexander grins.
Thanks, Santa. You're the man.
Why, they give me the big belly so I don't fall over.
Santa looks up at a balcony.
Joey! How's that static-free tinsel coming?
Hey, guys, Santa wants to see the new tinsel.
Silver, red, and gold tinsel rains down on Santa. Above him, the elves tip it out of large baskets until he's completely covered.
You know, I could come up there and take care of this the ugly way. Or we could go outside and play some football.
Yeah! The elves race off. Santa goes after them. Bernard?
Curtis, you need to tell him right now.
I don't know. He's so happy right now. Why do I have to be the one to tell him?
Because I'm the head elf. I don't give bad news. It's one of the perks of my seniority. Now, tell him.
Bernard drags Curtis off. Outside, the tinsel elves are lined up ready to play American football. A chubby-faced elf tosses the ball. Another points at Santa, who stands opposite the lineup, wearing a red and white jersey with the number 25 on it. Santa fixes his gaze on a round-faced elf with the ball.
Come on, pork chop. Bring it on.
Who are you calling pork chop? Meatloaf?
Meatloaf? You want to talk some trash? I'll talk trash with you. But first, I'm going to blitz.
Ready, set!
I'm coming after you, buddy.
Seven! Swans are swimming! Six! Beat the leg!
Five!
Hide!
The ball's passed. Santa's held back.
He's got the ball. I can see it in the garbage. Too quick. He's bent. He moved.
Joey runs with the ball. Santa dives at him, hitting the ground. Joey scores.
Oh! Oh. Oh.
Rolling, stumbling, bumbling!
Oh, they pile on! Oh.
They all pile on top of Santa.
Okay, you win!
All around, the spectating elves cheer and punch the air. Bernard and Curtis come to stand near Santa and the tinsel elves.
Oh. You guys aren't elves, you're wizards! No matter how many times you run that play, I never see it coming.
Santa, we need to talk.
Bernard glances at Curtis. Santa's in his bedroom in front of a mirror. He holds the waistband of his red trousers, which are too loose. Bernard brings in his coat.
That's weird, isn't it?
Uh-oh!
He said yesterday, didn't he?
Hot cocoa for you, Santa.
This is not a good time, Abby.
I sent Dasher down for some Brazilian cocoa beans.
Santa gives Abby a look.
What's the bad news?
What do you mean?
Whenever you play the designer bean card, generally, you have bad news.
Abby's smile fades and she holds out a scroll of paper.
What are you doing with the naughty and nice list?
Just don't shoot the messenger.
Santa puts on his glasses and unrolls the list.
It's Charlie.
Sheen? I thought he straightened out.
Not that Charlie.
Bernard shoots Abby a nervous glance. Santa reads on through the list.
My Charlie? My son Charlie? He's on the naughty list?
Punch and Judy screech.
There's got to be a mistake.
We don't make mistakes. I'm sorry, Santa. Please excuse me.
She goes.
Well, how could this happen? Is this what you and Curtis were trying to tell me?
Great, you told him. Good, let's get you dressed for that meeting.
I can't have the meeting here. I really can't. I'm going to have to go see Charlie.
Number two, tell him right now.
Tell me what, guys? Come on, come clean now.
Santa, there's a clause.
Yeah, that would be me.
No, I mean there's another Santa Claus.
Curtis, in case you haven't noticed, this time of year, the malls are filled with other Santa Clauses.
Yes, but there's another Santa Claus. There was a first clause, but there's also a second clause.
Get on with it!
Santa agrees.
When the last Santa Claus fell off your roof and you put on his coat, you found this.
A business card.
Right. He who wears the coat takes on the responsibilities of Santa Claus, something like that, and of course the rest would be history, right?
But it seems our number two elf, the keeper of the handbook, overlooked the single most important detail in the history of Christmas.
Wow. One mistake in 900 years.
Look.
The magnifying glass.
I can't see that. Better now?
A bigger one.
Or now.
Well,
better now.
It's getting there.
Why now?
I can't see anything.
A huge one.
I see. Good, good, good. I see it. Okay. Well, the card holder acknowledges woman of his choosing, true love, not valid in the state of Utah. Holy...
Sanders reading the small print on the card.
Matrimony? I gotta get married!
Yes, it's the Mrs. Claus.
Punch and Judy do a little dance.
What if I don't want to get married?
Santa's belt is getting looser.
Oh, dear. The desantification process has begun!
The desantification?
Curtis nods.
Are you telling me that in that clause it says that if I don't get married, I don't get to be Santa anymore?
A solemn-faced Santa looks to Bernard, who shifts awkwardly.
What about the kids? What about the elves?
Santa sits.
What about you guys?
It's not completely hopeless, sir. You still have time to find a wife.
Right. Well, how much time do I have, Curtis?
28 days.
28 days. So I've got to find a wife by Christmas.
Actually, Christmas Eve.
Santa sighs.
Guess it's over.
No! You can't think that way. Please, don't give up hope. Because if you do... and we have to.
They all look sad. Even Punch and Judy. Santa looks horrified as his big white beard starts to shrink. Santa touches his diminished beard.
Christmas is getting very complicated.
He looks down.
Santa?
At the meeting.
Santa? Are you with us?
Well, I'm sorry, yes. Yes, I am.
Well... on behalf of Father Time and the entire Council of Legendary Figures, I'd like to thank you for being such a gracious host.
You're here. What a lovely place.
Here, here.
And without further ado, let us convene the year-end holiday conference. Tooth Fairy.
Thank you, Mother Nature. Fellow council members, I'd like to again propose a new name for myself.
Oh, please.
Good heavens.
In the past, you have rejected Tooth Man, Tooth Guy, and Tooth.
Because they stunk.
Today, I'd like to submit Captain Floss.
Nice.
Plaque Man. And Roy.
Roy! No. No kid's gonna put a tooth under a pillow for a man named Roy.
This from someone who wears a diaper and shoots arrows in people's butts.
Wait a minute. I got it. How about this? The Molinator.
The Molinator. I like it. Thank you, Santa. Could we vote right now on the Molinator?
All in favor of a name change for Tooth Fairy?
Santa.
All right, and all opposed?
Almost everyone.
Easter Bunny.
Thumbs down.
Sandman?
What happened? Was I asleep again?
Name change for the Tooth Fairy. Yes or no?
No. I'm sorry.
All right, next item on the agenda. Santa, status report.
Okay, well, first off, welcome you all to the North Pole. It's great to have you here. As you know, this is our big time of year, so things are busy as usual. There's a little speed bump in the road this year. You all know Charlie.
Oh, I love Charlie.
Great kid.
Good boy.
Sweet kid.
Good teeth. Well, Charlie got himself on the naughty list.
What?
Oh, my.
I'm struggling a little bit with the timing because I got to be up here at the North Pole, and I've also got to try to take care of Charlie. And
that's every parent's dilemma. How to balance work and children. More people lose sleep over that than anything else.
Now tell me about it. I have 33,000 offspring, all in private school.
Santa nods sympathetically.
Well, to top it off, I have to get married by Christmas Eve. Otherwise, I stop being Santa Claus.
What?
No.
The desantification process has already begun.
Wait a minute.
Easter Bunny leaps up.
You do look thinner, and your beard is shorter. Am I right?
You're right.
Apparently, it's called the Mrs. Claus.
Don't mess with me, Santa. I'm pre-El Nino.
No, I'm not messing with anybody. What I'm saying is I have to find a wife in...
27 days, 20 hours, and 17 minutes.
Wow.
Is what I do.
Father Time chuckles.
Wait a minute, Cupid. Cupid, come over here.
What do you need, pal?
Why don't you just shoot with one of your darts? Then I'll fall in love.
All right. First of all, they're not darts. They're arrows. Second of all, no can do.
Why not?
Because the arrows have no effect on us. Believe me, if they did, I would have shot myself in the butt, met a nice girl, left the business years ago. All right? What the questions?
You can't stop being Santa Claus.
I don't want to stop being Santa Claus.
Kids are 86% happier since you've taken the job.
He's absolutely right. This is all I want to do. What am I going to do?
Father Time considers.
Well, you can't be two places at once.
Later with Curtis.
Maybe you can be.
Okay, everyone, can I get the room for a minute? Thank you. Can I just 1 minute? Take a cocoa break. Have a nice long break. Relax, everyone. Just want to show Santa some improvements on the pantograph. Thanks, guys. Walk with me. I've tripled the RAM, reconfigured the circuitry paths.
Santa looks up.
I see you've externalized the power source to make better use of the electromagnetic energy.
No, it's just there because it looks really cool.
Yeah, it does. Wait a minute, you tripled the RAM. Curtis, I see where this is going. I am not getting in that machine.
Right. Besides, creating a copy of Santa Claus won't solve our problems. It would be a toy.
And the elves will know.
But this would be a very special toy.
How's that, Curtis?
Okay, I added a fuzzy logic circuit to the pantograph. The duplicate will look and think just like you. So when you're with your family, dealing with Charlie and looking for a wife,
the toy Santa will be up here melting in front of my fireplace.
No, the toy Santa will be dealing with business up here.
I can deal with business up here. Santa, if the elves ever find out that we've made a switch... No! This machine is not the answer.
A mouse appears on the pantograph's conveyor belt.
Hey, you, shoo!
It's heading into the machine.
Go!
Santa, Bernard, and Curtis race round to the other side of the pantograph, where another conveyor belt comes out of the machine. A thin cloud of smoke wafts out, then the mouse reappears. Close behind it is a second mouse. It rises up on its hind legs, mimicking the first, and the two of them scamper off. Curtis looks at Santa.
Look, you can't get much better than that. And I promise, it won't hurt a bit.
Santa points at the pantograph and shrugs.
I'm going in.
Oh, I can't watch this.
Santa strides back round to the other side of the pantograph. Curtis presses some buttons and Santa steps onto a platform at the bottom of the conveyor belt. A terrified Bernard turns away, covering his eyes. Sighing, Curtis gestures for Santa to move on to the conveyor belt. Santa takes a deep breath and steps forward. The pantograph is set to duplicate. Curtis watches nervously as Santa disappears into the machine. On top of the tubular pantograph, a golden ball covered in yellow swirls rotates. Flashes of electric light spark around it like forked lightning. A bright white light glows from within the pantograph. On the other side of the machine, the curved door slides back, revealing a Santa shrouded in a smoky haze. Inert, he travels down the conveyor belt. Curtis peers over his glasses at him, and a smile creeps over the elf's face.
It's perfect!
The Santa turns to Curtis.
That's because it's me, Einstein.
Curtis's face falls. He and Bernard hurry over.
Santa, are you all right? Are you okay?
Yeah, I got a shock in there. Did you get a shock?
The pantograph springs back into action.
It's
naked!
A life-sized naked toy Santa heads down the conveyor belt towards them.
Throw some more.
Right.
It's incredible!
Yes, it is.
Bernard puts a blanket around the toy.
Can he talk?
Curtis gestures for Santa to give it a go.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Curtis grins, Bernard's aghast. Santa meets the toy's gaze.
Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Not bad. Not bad yourself.
The toy Santa has a red, plastic-looking face.
I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something about you that I like. There's just something about you that I like.
Santa turns to Curtis.
You watch him. I'll be right back. He's coming right back.
Curtis giggles.
Bernard, I need your help on this.
What do you mean?
What I mean is I gotta go see Charlie, and I want you to convince the elves that Toy Santa is me.
Have you seen that thing?
I've seen it, and I think if you keep the elves at a distance and tell them that I changed my look, it'll work.
Oh, Santa, we're in way over our heads here.
If anybody can do this, it's you, number one.
I'm not going to lie to all the elves.
Later.
I myself think he looks absolutely terrific.
better and fresher somehow than he has in years. There's now a more supple veneer to his skin and an added luster to the thickness of his hair. You could almost say there's a toy-like quality to him. Most importantly, he's very happy with his new look. And I would caution you all not to point or stare or use the word plastic. Okay? Okay. Thank you. That's it. That's all. Back to work, please.
The elves bustle off. In the stables, Comet, a reindeer, looks fed up.
Comet, because I don't want to take Prancer. I want to take a trip with you. When was the last time you and I just had a cruise, you and I together? I love you, buddy. Besides, last night at dinner, Prancer had way too many apples. I think we both know what that means.
Before you go, take a look at your watch.
Hey, can't go anywhere without that.
I've done some work on it.
It's beautiful, Bernard. It really is.
You like it?
I love it. The workmanship's fabulous. I love the little burnish stuff on this.
I've added a power reserve that measures how much magic you have left. It's at 10 now.
Yeah, well, that should be enough.
But if at any time you use up any magic for any reason, the level drops. Santa, if it gets to zero, you won't be able to return on the pole.
Santa leans into Bernard.
Then let's not let it get to zero.
Now, look at me.
He touches Santa's shoulder.
What's the most important thing?
For you not to touch Santa?
For you to come back.
Thank you. Comet, please just chill out a little bit, okay? Come on. You know, it's not like we're pulling the sleigh or anything. Right? There's no packages. It's one stopping. I think I might have forgot we're going to go see Charlie.
Comet the reindeer canters out of the stables and up through the blue icy cavern with Santa on his back. Later, at Charlie's school, Santa's greeted by his ex-wife Laura and her husband Neil.
Scott, hey, you trimmed your beard.
Yeah.
They hug.
Come here, big guy.
Scott, Santa, hugs him.
Whoa, lots of weight there, huh? Slim fast?
You don't know how fast.
You know, we should get going.
Oh, okay.
Okay, how do you always know when there's a problem?
Well, I see you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake.
Which is a pretty frightening concept when you think about it.
You know, Scott, we're really worried about Charlie. He keeps upping the ante. This time, he defaced school property.
It's a classic case of acting out.
I'm blaming myself for this.
Oh, come on now. We're both his parents.
Where is he?
He's waiting for us in Principal Newman's office.
Principal Newman, there's something about that woman that makes me want to deface public property. Hey!
Hello, Mr. Calvin. Laura. Neil.
Miss Newman.
Principal Newman.
Yeah, I haven't seen you since the last time Charlie was in trouble.
Well, I've been traveling for work, you know.
Oh, well, maybe if you spent more time with your son, there would be fewer problems.
Maybe, but then I wouldn't get to spend so much time with you, which is always such a pleasure.
Oh, a battle of wit. It's a shame that you come unarmed. Excuse me.
Miss Newman intercepts a boy on a skateboard.
Good morning, Principal Newman.
Mr. Picardo, I want you to look into my eyes. What do you see?
It's dark, and it's cold.
It's your future, Mr. Picardo. Keep this up and you will spend the rest of your life stabbing trash by the highway. Do I make myself clear?
Yes.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going straight to third period geometry.
Have a nice trip.
Later, Scott, Neil, Laura, and Charlie sit in Miss Newman's office, looking at pictures of Charlie's graffiti on the principal's laptop.
Not only is it an affront to authority, but a blatant disrespect for property. My feeling is if this sort of thing continues, I'll have no other recourse than to suspend...
Excuse me. Is there a rest stop between here and the end of the lecture? Because I'm more interested in why this happened in the first place.
So am I. Charlie, we're all worried about you. It feels to me like you're trying to get someone's attention. What's bothering you?
Charlie shrugs moodily.
Dr. Miller?
Neil.
Neil, do you have any theories?
Well... frankly, I have several.
Here we go. Let's just order a pizza.
Scott, you're not helping.
I was listening to a new tape series on child development just last night.
Scott bangs his head against a cabinet.
You know what the problem is? Excuse me, Neil. It's 4 weeks until Christmas. That's a major holiday in December.
Oh.
Have you noticed the hallways in this school? There's not a decoration, not a twinkle light, not an expression of the happiness and joy that kids are supposed to be feeling this time of year. I mean, what kind of school are you running?
A public school, Mr. Calvin. The top academically rated public school in the district. That takes a lot of effort and money. And spending any of that money on holiday decorations would take away from the things that truly matter.
Forgive me, but I think holiday cheer really matters.
Hey, what are we going to do, Charlie? We are all really worried.
Let me handle this. Charlie, you know what you did is wrong, right?
I guess so.
There's no guessing. The guessing is gone. It was wrong what you did, and you're not going to do it again. Promise me.
Okay.
There you go. He's good to his word. He won't do it again. Meeting is adjourned.
It most certainly is not, Charlie.
You know what else? Here's a little donation. Why don't you buy yourself a wreath?
Scott follows Charlie out. In Elfsburg.
I am Santa Claus. Boo!
The toy Santa.
Yeah, no, I think that this is gonna work. Good job, Curtis.
Would it kill you to give a compliment with your whole heart?
Toy Santa admires his reflection in a mirror.
Oh,
Santa?
The toy Santa turns to Curtis.
I need you to take a look at this.
Santa's handbook.
All right! Nice!
No, I mean I need you to read it.
Well, let's try to be specific, shall we?
He takes the book.
I'll take a look at it over at my desk.
He marches to it.
How does he know where his desk is?
Well, I programmed him that way. He has most of Santa's memories. Okay, we need you to study everything that's in that book. Because it is the key to being Santa.
Right! I'll memorize everything in the book. I'll follow all the rules. Yeah, those rules are very important.
Yeah, I like this guy.
I can barely read this.
Hi, Santa.
Abby comes in carrying a tray.
Hi.
Oh, you look...
like he got a good night's sleep.
She peers at Toy Santa's plastic-looking face, then smiles.
Like you got a very good night's sleep. How about a nice chocolatey cocoa?
Toy Santa looks at Curtis for some guidance. Curtis gestures for him to smile and nod. Santa imitates Curtis with a toothy smile. Abby pours cocoa into a silver tankard. Curtis gestures to Santa to stop nodding.
Careful, it's hot.
Well, of course it is.
Toy Santa watches Curtis, who mimes drinking. Santa lifts the tankard to his lips and glugs it back in one go. Abby's smile fades and she eyes him with growing concern as he finishes the drink and beams.
Ah!
He slams the tankard down on the tray.
Whoa! That's delicious! I like cocoa! Cocoa's superior refreshment! Get me some more cocoa! Whoa!
Right away, Santa!
Whoa! I think Santa feels a little buzz! Woo!
At the Miller's.
Let me get this straight. You are de-Santifying? And you only have 27 days to find a wife or you're out?
Scott nods.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? We dated for 3 years before you finally got up the courage to propose.
That's a pretty serious commitment issue, isn't it, Scott?
Scott eyes Neil.
Why, yes it is, Sigmund. I was afraid I'd mess up the first time. I'm even more afraid now.
Dad, you can't give up. There's never been a better Santa than you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, sport. Maybe it's for the best, you know? If I'd spend more time with you, maybe you'd spend less time supporting the spray paint industry.
Don't do that to yourself, Scott. You have been a great dad, and being Santa has made you an even better man.
I'm going to go out on an emotional limb here, Scott.
Neil, don't try to make me cry.
Whether you believe it or not, you have a great capacity for love. I know you can find someone wonderful to spend the rest of your life with. Don't let the facts that you have no time, no prospects, and a paralyzing fear of intimacy get you down. Hmm.
Have you ever helped anyone? Ever?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look through my phone book and see who's still single out there and not too bitter.
And you know what, Dad? There's plenty of divorce moms at school who'll go out with anybody.
Well, as promising as this all sounds, I don't need help in this area. Your old man was a legend in high school. I was a double letterman. I had a Mustang. So as far as dating goes, I think if anybody can stir up the old mojo, it would be moi. Come on. I don't think there's a woman out there that doesn't want a piece of this.
Laura and Neil gape as Scott's beard disappears and his hair reverts to a sandy color.
Hi, Mom!
Lucy!
Uncle Scott!
How's my little sweet pea?
He picks her up and hugs her.
Oh, I haven't seen you in a long time. Well, tell me what's been happening.
Uncle Scott, I learned how to swim underwater and I'm not afraid.
That's amazing. Wait a minute. Maybe we'll have to go to the mall and get some ice cream.
Dad, plenty of women at the mall.
Charlie?
Bernard?
Santa, I need you to look forward and put on a smiley face. Say hello to your elves.
Oh, ho, ho. You're all doing a wonderful job.
An elf?
Santa, when you said the bigger wheels, is this what you meant?
Bernard nods.
Ho, ho, ho! You're doing a wonderful job!
The elf goes.
You're doing great. You could dial it down a little on the ho, ho, ho's, but otherwise you're gold.
Ho, ho, ho! Ho, ho, ho!
Toy Santa wanders off. Bernard turns to Curtis.
Why don't you just say it? You were right, Curtis. I was wrong.
Okay, I admit it. You're happy, you're working hard.
Everything's going to be fine.
You know, this book is very interesting reading. There's a lot of rules right here at the North Pole they're not following.
That's what I've been saying all along. Things have gotten a little too sloppy around here.
Yes! And sloppiness means mistakes. Mistakes aren't a good thing!
Bernard's alarmed. Toy Santa turns to Curtis.
I think I might have to make some changes around here.
Well, you have in mind, boss.
Let me show you.
Okay.
There's many things. Look here.
Scott.
Neil. Are you sure you don't have any other clothes I can borrow? I mean, the idea tonight is to attract a woman.
What are you talking about?
I look like a limesickle.
I think it makes you look hot.
What do you think, Laura? I mean, honestly, what do you think? Huh?
Doesn't he look hot, Laura?
And I think it's what's inside that really counts.
I thought you liked that sweater.
We'll talk about it later.
All right. I'm off. I need to borrow a car.
I'm parked behind Neil. Take the minivan. I just had it washed.
Scott holds his hands up.
The minivan? Okay, then. Well, wish me luck. I got a needlepoint sweater, a minivan. See you in about 8 minutes.
A busy upmarket restaurant. Scott, wearing a swirly patterned green and blue jumper, sits alone at a table. An attractive blonde in a red coat approaches.
Scott? Hey.
Tracy.
Yes.
Hi.
Hey. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Here, why don't you sit down?
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
He holds her chair out, closes his eyes and sighs. She sits down.
So, I'm so glad we finally got to do
this. I'm pretty nervous.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Laura says that we have a lot in common. I hear that you love this time of year also?
It's my favorite time of year and my busiest time of year.
Really?
Whoa, look at the sweater.
Yeah.
Some sweater.
It's a Santa sweater.
Like I should talk.
Yeah. I also have my Christmas charm bracelet.
That's beautiful.
Lots of pretty charms.
Look at them all.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I wear it all year long just to keep the spirit alive.
That's gorgeous. Look at all these little teddy bears. They've got packages. That's very nice.
Yeah. So, so what kind of work do you do?
I'm in the toy business.
No way.
Way.
Oh. Oh. That sounds so creative.
Yeah. I love
it. I love creative people.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They look at one another awkwardly.
So what do you do?
I'm actually hoping someday to break into the music business as a singer-songwriter.
No way.
Way.
What's your favorite kind of music?
Country Western.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you like Shania Twain?
Yeah.
Yeah. The best thing about singing at Christmas is the Coco Carolyn and Fine. Know that one?
Yeah, I know that song.
Whoa, go totally Yuletide. They're gonna sleigh ride.
Good.
Santa shirt, reindeer skirts.
She's on her feet. Scott's startled.
And some eggnog.
That's good.
Everyone's watching as she performs jerky dance moves to accompany her singing.
Put up a tree, sports on TV. I wanna be free, yeah, to feel the way I feel.
She stomps around.
Man, I feel like some Christmas.
Scott's wearing a fixed smile. She sits down.
Whew.
Scott stares at her, unable to speak.
What, you hated it?
It kind of scared me a little bit.
Tracy's face falls.
No, I wasn't prepared for a performance, so if
You know what, I totally put myself out there doing that, and that was not an easy thing to do, and if you're the kind of man that can't support a woman's ambition, then I don't think there's any reason to continue this date.
She picks up her coat and bag and sweeps out. Charlie's lying in bed.
Dad?
Hey, sport.
How'd it go?
Well...
He looks skywards.
Let's just say, I'm not booking a church yet.
He sits on the edge of Charlie's bed.
Oh, I'll tell you. Women are hard to figure out.
Tell me about it.
You two, no girl trouble?
Well, there's this one girl. Mm. We just used to be friends and hang out at the mall and stuff like that, but then one day I looked at her and she got this weird feeling in the pit of my stomach. I started worrying about what I was gonna wear when I saw her and what my hair looked like. And then I wanted to kiss her.
Scott gasps in mock horror.
How'd she do that?
I don't know. But they all can do that.
Charlie nods.
Oh, look at that.
He picks it up.
The snow globe. This is so beautiful. I remember when Bernard gave this to you.
He said all I have to do to see you is shake it.
Scott shakes it.
Now all I have to do is yell down the hall. And I'm there whenever you need me.
Yeah. I'm a little tired right now, Dad. I'll see you in the morning.
A little hurt, Scott nods and looks at the snow globe.
Okay.
Good night.
Night.
Scott stands up.
Can you turn the light off, please?
Yeah, because it's such a big reach for you.
Yeah.
Comet watches Scott up a stepladder hanging Christmas lights along the eaves.
What do you mean it's not straight?
Well, that's wrong.
Sure it's straight.
Your head's crooked.
You know, Prancer's not this picky.
Lucy.
Hi, Comet.
Hey.
Scott gestures Comet to shh.
I've got something for you.
Hey, Lucy, what do you got there?
A chocolate bar.
Oh, you gotta be careful with the sweets. He tends to overeat.
Uncle Scott, are you Santa Claus?
What? Why would you ask me something like that?
Because you have a reindeer, and only Santa has reindeer.
Nonsense. A lot of people have reindeer.
Name five.
Well, most of them live in Finland. I can't pronounce their names.
Comet gives him a look and narrows his eyes. Scott sees this.
Besides, reindeer are too stupid to make good pets.
Well, I think you're very smart.
Comet nuzzles her cheek. In Elfsburg, Curtis walks with Bernard. Toy Santa follows.
Well, I think he's earning at an excellent rate.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This morning he ate a bowl of waxed fruit.
Wait a minute.
Toy Santa.
I need the naughty and nice list.
No.
Oh, yes, yes. It says I'm supposed to check it twice.
Santa already checked it.
No, I didn't.
The real Santa.
I am the real Santa.
I'm sorry?
I'm in charge here.
What?
I'm supposed to check the list twice. That's the rule. I like the rules. I think you're aware of how I feel about that.
I think you're misunderstanding something.
No, no, I'm a rule maker. I like the rules. Santa likes rules. I thought I explained this to you.
I've got a good idea. How about we have some fun?
Huh?
It's good to have fun.
Right. Santa, look over there. See those elves? Go ahead. Go play some tinsel football.
Break!
Toy Santa watches the elves line up for football.
What's the object of this tinsel football?
Come on, Dad.
Toy Santa leans towards Curtis.
If you don't have the ball, get it. If you have the ball, run to the end zone. Okay,
Curtis faces him and nods. Toy Santa turns back to the football game.
Ready, okay. Ready. I'll go get the football.
Curtis takes the handbook.
Ready, punt!
Curtis and Bernard watch in horror as the Toy Santa charges through the elves and slams into the one with the ball.
All right, I got the ball. What are you going to do about it?
Who's going to stop me? Come on.
This is a lot of fun.
The elves run at him one at a time to retrieve their ball. Each one is knocked out. Curtis winces.
Oh, so sorry.
One elf falls at his feet. Big, chubby Toy Santa stands on top of him and wiggles his bottom, then steps off to face his last opponent. Toy Santa beckons him to come forward. The little elf flees.
Slow down when I'm talking to you.
Santa chases him up a flight of stairs and trips. A security guard chases Charlie down the polished corridors of his school.
Get east toward the main entrance.
He radios for help. Charlie rushes outside and is confronted by Principal Newman.
Hello, Charlie.
A terrified Charlie stares at her.
Hello, Principal Newman.
A slimmer Scott arrives.
Are Laura and Neil on their way?
No, I volunteered to go solo on this one.
Wow, you look... You've really lost weight. Are you feeling all right?
It wasn't until I got this phone call.
She leads Scott and Charlie to a set of lockers. Her likeness has been spray-painted on them alongside a caption, Trim a tree, go to jail.
Charlie, you promised you weren't going to do this again. Now you've broken a promise. What's the matter with you, Charlie? I'm going to have to punish you. I'll ground him for 2 months.
I thought you were on my side.
How could I be on your side?
You went better, Charlie. You're suspended.
But, Dad...
Hold on a second. I'm just as upset about this as you, but isn't there another way we can punish him that doesn't involve taking him out of school?
What did you have in mind?
We can... community service?
She raises her eyebrows.
Huh. It's not a bad idea.
Cool and composed, she turns to Charlie.
Okay, Charlie. I want you to start by cleaning up this wall. I want everything off of there by tonight. And then for the rest of the week, you can clean off every mark off every locker in this hallway.
Everyone?
Do as she says, Charlie.
But I have homework, tests to study for.
Not my problem. I have a detention group that meets on Saturday, so we will all get together at the Sullivan Rec Center and scrape off graffiti at 8 a.m. See you both there.
You say both of us? I'm very busy. I do a lot of other community service.
It's good. You just got yourself elected parent rep. And, Charlie, we'll talk about the suspension.
With a parting glance at Scott, she glides away. Charlie sighs heavily and looks at the floor. Scott, now with a slimmed-down face and darker hair, turns gloomily to face Charlie. Back at Elfsburg, the toy Santa studies a world globe while he checks the naughty and nice list in the workshop. Curtis and Bernard hurry over to him.
Curtis, what is he doing in the naughty and nice center?
Bernard marches up to toy Santa.
What's going on here?
Well, I'm checking the naughty nice list. Actually, I'm checking it twice.
I already told you.
He glances at Curtis.
It's been checked. Don't worry about it.
Well, I do worry about it. There's a lot of mistakes on this list. I'll give you a big fact, for instance. In Denmark, there's a guy named Sven Hallstrom. Right here. He's a Dane. Apparently, he was wiping his nose on his sister's shirt. Yuck! That's not very nice. And yet, he's on the nice list.
We try to cut most of the children a little bit of slack this time of year.
I don't understand that. It looks like kids are misbehaving everywhere. They're running with scissors. They're always sticky. I'm not going to stop this car. No, we're not there yet. Brush your teeth. Pick up those clothes. It goes on and on.
But they're just kids. Everybody misbehaves sometime.
But according to the Santa Handbook, naughty kids get lumps of coal in their stockings. Right? And if they don't have stockings, we will make them stockings. In my little personal opinion, I think they should all get coal in their stockings, don't you?
No, that's not how it works.
Get me the naughty nice list. Get me every list. Get me everything.
Outside the Sullivan Rec Center, kids in orange work vests stand by a graffitied wall. Some men in sports gear arrive. Principal Carol Newman greets some students.
Mr. Amorali, Mr. Larry.
Hey, you in charge of the gangbangers?
They're students, actually, in DX.
Just keep away from the car. It's new. I need some delinquent kids scratching it up.
Hey, they're not delinquents. They're good kids. And don't worry about your car.
If I were you, I'd spend more time worrying about your legs than those shorts.
Yeah, I thought only swimmers shave their legs.
She turns to Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Brought you coffee.
Thank you.
She takes it.
So you actually have a nice guy side.
I'm a man of many sides. I'm a puzzle. I'm a Rubik's Cube with pants. That was a laugh.
Dad,
actual laugh.
Doesn't come off.
It's not supposed to come off. Hence, you've got to be very careful where you put it. Hence, tagging is serious. Hence, your presence here.
Don't say hence anymore, Dad. It's really annoying.
Charlie slumps back to work.
Nicely done.
How do you do it? I have trouble with one. You take care of hundreds.
A little girl runs up to Scott.
Hi.
Hi.
I was really good this year.
Is that so? Are you absolutely sure about that, Pamela?
I want a dollhouse and a swimming pool.
A swimming pool?
I'm sorry. She just insisted on talking to you.
It's not a problem.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. If you can promise me you'll be good, I can personally guarantee you'll have a great Christmas.
Okay.
Yes. Pamela hurries off with her mother. Scott gets up from his kneeling position in the snow and turns to Carol, who gives him a quizzical smile.
Kids get so nutty this time of year.
Is she a neighbor or something?
No.
How did you know her name?
The necklace that said Pamela on it.
Oh, I guess I missed that. I'm gonna go check on this group.
She walks on. Scott looks at his magic wristwatch. The level now reads 9 instead of 10.
It cost me, Pamela.
In Elfsburg, Toy Santa paints a porcelain soldier.
I just couldn't sleep thinking about all those rules. Am I wrong? Am I right? Does it matter? Couldn't have been the 3 gallons of cocoa I had. You understand rules, don't you? You're highly decorated. Look at that face. There you go. There's a face only a mom would like. I don't have a mom, so I wouldn't know about that.
He goes to the pantograph.
It's time for the big event. Guess what? Son, it's showtime! You're in the spotlight. Get bigger with me. It's your big chance. I need a little help. I need a little muscle. I need a little nudge. Let's call yourself the little nudge. This won't hurt, except for the big electric shock right through your little porcelain body. I'll see you on the other side!
He places the small soldier on a conveyor belt and switches the pantograph on, pushing a lever towards enlarge. Evening. Scott drives a people carrier slowly down a snowy suburban street and pulls up. He gets out, walks up to one of the pretty snow-covered houses, and knocks on the door. Carol Newman opens it.
Oh, hi.
Hi, gee, looks like you're going out somewhere. I'm sorry, I should have called.
No, it's okay, come in.
You sure?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He steps inside. Carol, wearing a low-cut black dress and a pretty necklace, shuts the door.
Is there a problem?
No, I just, I wondered if,
Do you want to go get some noodles?
Carol raises her eyebrows.
Or pie. But I don't want to keep you from your date, so...
Oh, it's not a date. It's the faculty Christmas party. Oh. Is that your idea of a night on the town? Noodles and pie?
Oh, yes, it is. What would be your idea?
Pizza and a movie?
Thick or thin crust?
Gotta be thin.
Good. Movie?
Two for the road. Audrey Hepburn, Albert Finney.
Movie's okay, but the car was the star. 53 MGTD. British Racing Green, wire wheels. Beautiful.
I'm impressed. That is a great car. My favorite car.
Didn't like driving them in the rain, though, because...
No, I have to push it to start it. But other than that, it's perfect.
She smiles shyly.
It's perfect, though.
She looks down. Yeah. Scott glances towards the door.
You know, I could drive you to your party.
That would be great. Except for eventually, I'm going to have to get home.
She heads out.
Well, I could pick you up.
So you're going to drop me off and then come back and pick me up?
Yeah.
Why don't you just stay?
All right, I'll stay.
I'll get my coat.
Scott's thrilled.
So, Mr. Andretti, what are you driving?
You know, I think you're going to like it.
He opens the front door for her while she puts on her blue coat and scarf. She steps outside to see a sleigh pulled by two ponies waiting by the snow-covered curb just where Scott had parked the people carrier. She looks at Scott in amazement. She heads towards it. Scott checks his watch. His magic level drops to 6. Twinkling white and gold fairy lights hang from the winter branches of a tree-lined street as the ponies leisurely pull the sleigh along a deserted road.
Do you mind if I ask you something personal?
Please.
You look really different.
The weight. Yeah, well, you know, it's Indian teas and it's a lot of salves and stuff. Do you want some cocoa?
Oh, yes. Cocoa. You really have thought of everything.
Well, this time of year, I really shine.
Yeah, I can't wait till it's over. The streets are crowded, the malls are jammed, people are maxing out their credit cards. It's noisy.
When did you become such a cynic?
Oh, I don't know.
He hands her a mug of cocoa.
I used to love Christmas, too. It was my favorite time of year because it was the only day that my parents didn't fight.
Oh.
Oh. They were at each other all the time. But on Christmas, they tried really hard to make the holiday special. My dad went through this elaborate charade so that I would believe in Santa Claus. He put a cot by the fireplace so Santa could take a nap.
Yeah, when like he has time to take a nap. I mean, you consider the amount of gifts that he would have to deliver, and then why would he nap? He probably needs coffee.
Yeah, and there was cocoa and cookies and carrots for the reindeer.
That's a good gesture, because the reindeer love carrots, and the thought is really, it's important to them, too.
Yeah. And I'd wake up in the morning, and the cocoa would be gone, and the cookies would be gone, and the cot would be must, and the carrots nod. And
no, they don't nod carrots, they swallow carrots whole. I mean, if they're good, fresh carrots, they'll eat them like that. They love red bell peppers, too. Some, you know, the stories, if you read.
And there would be the most incredible presents under the tree, all from Santa. One year was a rocking horse. And I named it Harvey. And the next year was a little red wagon, which I made a lemonade stand, which was great. And the last year was a baby doll. Pink and soft and beautiful.
They look at one another.
Beautiful.
Yes. I believed in Santa so much that I would get in fights at school with kids who tried to tell me that he didn't exist. And one day I came home with a bloody nose, and that's when my parents decided to tell me to grow up. I was devastated. Oh, good, 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 Carol. This is really great sleigh riding conversation. I'm a terrible sleigh riding conversation. First, just wants something to believe in, you know?
Yes, I know. Yes, I know.
She smiles to herself.
Okay, we have cocoa. We have a blanket. We have a horse-drawn sleigh. The only thing that's...
She looks up as snow begins to gently fall upon them.
What?
It's snowing.
Oh. As if by magic.
That's what I was going to say, that it should be snowing.
As the ponies walk on, a funnel of snow follows the sleigh so that only Carol and Scott are enveloped in soft white flakes. A dowdy school gym hall bedecked with balloons and streamers. A glittery sign reading Merry Christmas hangs over the doorway. Bored teachers and staff stand or sit quietly in small groups at the faculty Christmas party. Some hold paper plates and miserably nibble crisps or chew on the poultry buffet. Most check their watches from time to time, and with pained, resigned expressions while away the time. Scott and Carol stand by a table, staring out over the despondent crowd. Carol glances at Scott.
I owe you one.
He turns to her.
It's a great party. Look, the guy moved.
He faces her.
Would you excuse me for a minute?
He sets his glass of punch down and walks off. Moments later, red curtains separate on a stage, revealing a huge Christmas tree. Everyone turns round and looks up in surprise. Scott peers round a curtain and eyes the baffled audience before stepping to the front of the stage.
Could I have your attention? Your attention, please. There we go. Hi, I'm Scott Calvin, and I just thought I'd step up here and say the word that we've all been longing to hear. Fire!
He grins and glances round. His audience look at him stony-faced.
Okay. What I think, folks, is that a lot of you have just forgotten what the true spirit of Christmas is all about. Golly, if you're not willing to dance or laugh or flirt or risk your lives at the buffet, I don't think we have much choice. So before the choir gets out here, I say we rock this house with the Secret Santa.
Oh.
Huh?
Carol runs up.
Carol, happy, happy Christmas.
I think they're just decorations for the carolers.
She's afraid that these are just decorations for the caroling. I think Carol is right about the caroling. I'm talking about the packages that are backstage.
There aren't any packages backstage.
Oh, there's none back there. So I was mistaken when I saw this bag of gifts. Maybe I'm wrong, but sure looks like a bag of gifts. Oh, it's heavy like a bag of gifts. Look at this. What's in here?
He heaves a big purple sack to the front of the stage.
Very heavy, very heavy.
He takes out a large present.
John Pierce. Doesn't your mom call you JJ?
A man grumpily steps forward and takes the present.
Merry Christmas, JJ.
JJ heads back to his colleagues and sullenly begins to tear the Christmas wrapping off his present to reveal a board game. His jaw drops.
No way.
His eyes widen.
This is Toss-a-Cross! I used to love this when I was a kid. But I never told anybody. Who did this?
Another present.
Grace Kim.
Here I am.
Yes, there you are. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Todd Astle.
Me?
Todd pushes through the crowd.
Haven't changed a bit, have you? Lizzie Garcia.
Here.
There you are. Merry Christmas.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots! Mint condition. Oh, this is incredible.
Holy hobby oven.
Grace is astounded as she holds up her toy oven. Carol watches in amazement.
Come on up and get the rest of your presents.
They all pile forward.
Marie.
Here.
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 The staff watch excitedly as all the presents are handed out. Here. Scott checks his watch and sees his magic level slipping to 2. The staff now sit round the hall in groups, having discarded their jackets, loosened their ties and removed their shoes, laughing and playing with their presents. 2 toy cars shoot off ramps. JJ is playing toss-across with several other teachers. One woman with a Christmas ribbon tied round her hair pretends to eat a plastic spider. Grace tries out her Holly Hobby bake oven. Todd sits on the floor with 2 friends and Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Everybody's having a great time. Scott, with a large, prettily wrapped present under his arm, smiles as he surveys the scene. He walks past JJ, who beams at him.
This is great.
Scott approaches Carol.
Hey, party animal, you want to play?
I just can't figure it out.
It's tic-tac-toe with beanbags.
No, I mean the Secret Santa thing. Someone tracked down and bought all those wonderful antique toys.
Yeah, probably someone who knows his way around eBay.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was you. I know it was you. I just can't figure out how to do it. How did you do it?
You know, sometimes you don't need to know all the answers. Speaking of which, even the principal needs a Christmas gift. Merry Christmas.
She takes the present.
Come on, open it. Rip it open. Come on, we're not going to save the paper.
She removes a red ribbon from around the present, then rips through the red and white wrapping paper. She gulps as she unwraps a box with the words baby doll emblazoned across the front. She lifts the lid of the box and, filled with emotion, lifts up a beautiful toy doll in a little pink dress and bonnet. After a moment, she replaces the doll in the box, closes the lid and looks up at Scott with tear-filled eyes.
It's baby doll.
He smiles gently as he watches her reaction. Carol composes herself and grabs his hand.
Come here. She pulls him out into a darkened corridor.
Did you call the office?
No.
Did they call you?
It's not like that.
Did you investigate us?
No, I wouldn't do that. No.
Did you? I told you about Baby Doll an hour ago. And did you send someone to...
No.
No. Well, I don't know how you did it. It's like some kind of magic.
Yeah, sort of like some kind of magic. And pretty much the last that I have.
What? You know what? I don't want to know. What you did in there tonight for everyone was wonderful. Thank you.
She kisses his cheek, then pulls back shyly.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
Scott looks at her a little tentatively.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
She holds the baby doll between them.
Got this weird feeling in the pit of my stomach. Hey, Mom. I'm real good at this.
He leans towards her slowly with his lips slightly parted. She tilts her head towards his, leaning over the baby doll box. She looks up to see that mistletoe has sprung from a light attachment just over their heads. Scott gazes at her and smiles.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
His eyes remain fixed on hers. Slowly, their heads tilt towards one another and their lips meet in a tender kiss. Back in Elfsburg, the toy Santa, dressed in a military uniform, addresses the elves in the workshop.
Hi! Merry Christmas! Ho, ho, ho!
The elves, too busy to notice him, go about their work. Toy Santa pulls a lever, stopping all machines.
Can I have your attention? Stop the work, please. Everybody, stop the work. Merry Christmas. That's nice. I have a little announcement to make. From this moment forward, we're not going to make any more toys. The children of the world don't deserve these presents. They're running rampant with naughtiness. So for this Christmas, we're going to give those greedy, selfish little kids exactly what they deserve. A beautiful, high-quality, yet low-sulfur variety of coal. Quiet! We have to focus, all of us, on the goals ahead. And just to make sure that that happens...
He takes a horn from an elf.
Thank you, sweetie.
He holds it up.
I hate to blow my own horn.
On squeezing the horn, double doors open and a troop of tall porcelain soldiers, all identical, march into the workshop, towering over the little elves who all shriek in fear.
Stay where you are! Don't be afraid!
Bernard tries to calm the elves around him. Curtis holds his arms out and tries to contain the elves beside him.
I was up late, couldn't sleep. Milk wouldn't do it. Cocoa was a little sweet, so I decided to make an army of toy soldiers. They don't have a good sense of humor like me.
The soldiers take up their positions all around the workshop.
I would do what they ask you, which is pretty much what I'm going to tell you.
Don't listen to him. This guy's not Santa. He's a toy. He has a rubber face and a plastic tushy.
Toy Santa feels his bottom while the soldiers silence Bernard.
Trust me. Don't let him ruin Christmas.
Thank you for those kind words, Bernard. Well, now that we all have an understanding, have a joyous and merry Christmas.
He pulls a lever and great lumps of coal tumble out of chutes. The coal topples down the conveyor belts around the workshop where once toys of every shape and kind travelled. It's late. Charlie's spying on a house.
Okay, ready? Go!
He hurls a snowball.
Now this is what I call community service. Here she comes, duck down.
Charlie, Danielle, and a friend duck down behind a wall.
Hey! Attention to you hooligans behind that snowbank. You have snowballed the wrong house. I want you to drop the snowballs, kick them away from the snowsuits, and keep the mittens where I can see them.
Your dad is hanging out with Principal Newman? Is he dating her?
Go to your home and help the ones you love. And a Merry Christmas.
He goes back in.
He's really gross, man.
Shut up.
An embarrassed Charlie chucks a snowball at his friend. Inside, Carol draws her curtains. Dressed in jeans and a sweater, she perches on the back of her sofa and flops down onto it, smiling up at Scott, who's standing.
Carol, there's some things about me you should know. Some personal things.
We don't need to rush things, Scott.
I think you need to know these things.
Okay.
He folds his arms anxiously.
Do you, remember the mistletoe, how it just showed up?
Yes.
And then the sleigh, how magical that was?
Yes.
Secret Santa Claus? That was
me. Yeah.
She playfully taps her feet on the sofa.
I'm not this size much. I'm usually much bigger than this.
So am I sometimes.
I have a very big white beard that's beautiful.
I don't.
I work a long way from my home. When I get back to my home, I sleep for long periods of time.
See? Okay. It's not so bad so far. You work far away from home and you sleep a lot. Hey, you've never been to prison and you don't wear socks with sandals?
Well, I'm Santa Claus.
What?
The suit, the red suit's real. The North Pole is a place. There are elves. Elves make the toys, and they're beautiful, and it's all real. It exists.
It's not funny, Scott.
It's magical, Carol.
Okay, cut it out.
I'm telling you the truth, Carol.
I told you something very personal from my childhood, and now you're making a joke out of it, and it's not funny. It hurts.
I know how hard this is to believe, but you've got to connect the dots. Think about all the things that have happened with me.
I know
what's about the little girl, and think about, I have a watch.
You felt something for me, and now you're acting like a mental patient because you're scared.
I'm not scared. I deliver gifts all over the world in a sleigh pulled by reindeer.
Incredible.
I go down chimneys with burning logs and I still deliver the gifts. I'm not scared. That's not what this is, Carol.
You're trying to push me away. It's working.
Carol, don't make me leave.
She opens the front door.
Please.
He holds out his hands to her, pleading. Carol stands by the open door and stares at him unflinchingly. Scott gets the message and slumps outside. Scott stands on the doorstep and sighs. Inside, Carol leans against the door sadly, her chin trembling. She closes her eyes. Outside, Scott puts his tan wool duffel coat on, glances back at the closed door, and leaves. At the Millers.
How could you pick her?
I didn't pick her.
You don't care anymore.
Charlie, I care more about you than anybody else. It's a two-way street. What am I supposed to do if you won't confide in me?
All right, you want it?
Yeah.
All right, here it is.
What? Talk to me.
Okay, I don't live a normal life.
You live a great life here.
No, just listen to me. My friends get to go around saying, you know, my dad's a plumber, my dad's a pilot, my dad's a dentist. Well, you know what? My dad is the best thing of all, and I can't tell anyone about it. And you have no idea how hard that is, walking around that secret for all these years. And now on top of everything, you're going out with Principal Newman? I mean, you don't even tell me about it. My whole life has become about secrets, and I hate it.
Charlie stares imploringly at Scott. Scott shakes his head helplessly.
I'm sorry.
Scott furrows his brow.
Forget about Principal Newman, all right? And forget about Santa. I'm done.
He looks at his watch.
My time's up.
Who cares anymore?
Charlie walks sadly away. Next day, he's shoveling snow at the front of the house as Lucy comes out.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Lucy.
What are you doing?
Just shoveling.
Oh. Charlie, is Uncle Scott Santa Claus?
No, of course not. Why would you think that?
I don't know. How come Uncle Scott was so sad today?
Why would you think he was sad?
I asked him to stick a straw in his nose and blow bubbles in his milk. And he said no.
Whatever.
Can you talk to him?
I don't think so, Lucy.
Did you have a fight?
Sort of.
Are you gonna make up?
I don't know.
Are you gonna be mad forever?
Lucy!
What?
These are really hard questions.
No, they're not. They're easy. And you can't be mad at him forever, Charlie. He's your daddy and you love him.
Lucy looks upset and runs off. In the workshop, a sign reads, 2 days till Christmas. The miserable elves chisel coal as Toy Santa walks through.
Dashing through the snow in a strip mining machine. Flatten the hills we go. Come on! Put a smile on that face, little troll!
Hey, wait a minute. I got a little joke. Just to cheer you up.
The elves look up.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Aren't you?
Aren't you who?
Aren't you supposed to get back to work? All of you, you little idiots! Back to work!
Got any twos?
It's nighttime. Scott and Lucy are playing cards at home.
Go fish.
Outside, Curtis zooms across the sky in a jetpack. He seems out of control. He plows into the snowy ground.
What was that?
Scott stands up.
Let me get some more hot chocolate, Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you get that, honey?
Yeah, sure.
Scott goes into the kitchen and Lucy answers the door to Curtis.
Is
got here?
Who are you?
Curtis, a friend from Buffalo.
Are you an elf?
Of course not. Why'd you ask such a silly question?
How come you have pointy ears?
It's because I never ate my green vegetables. Do you eat your green vegetables?
Lucy holds her ears and runs back into the house.
Uncle Scott!
Yeah, right here. What's wrong? Oh, Curtis, what are you doing here?
There's a little trouble at the plant.
It's okay, it's okay. Curtis is a very old friend of mine. We have a large firm. We work together in
Curtis prompts him.
Buffalo?
Curtis nods.
We work together in Buffalo, so we're going to talk about some business.
What business?
Well, actually, it's business that's none of your business.
Soon I'm going to be 7, and then I can know things. Good night, Curtis.
Good night, Lucy.
Night, Lucy.
She goes.
What's up?
The toy stand has gone completely out of control. He's locked up the elves, shut down the workshop. He thinks everybody's naughty, and he's going to give the whole world coal.
Well, how come Bernard didn't come down and tell me this?
He's under house arrest.
Bernard?
Yeah. You've got to fly back with me to the North Pole to save Christmas!
I can't. I have no magic left. I'm out of magic. Look.
Scott points to his watch.
I thought you had come.
Yeah, we...
They both smile excitedly.
Yes! Come on!
They run out.
Hey, Comet, who this...
Comet lies bloated on a pile of empty chocolate wrappers.
Comet? Comet?
Scott crouches sternly over the reindeer.
Look at me. Look at me.
Comet!
Comet looks queasy.
What are you doing? You're not supposed to eat sugar. It's bad for you. What do you mean you didn't eat this? Who did? A squirrel?
Comet looks sheepish.
Yeah, well, get this. You gotta fly both of us back to the North Pole. Yeah, tonight. Okay. I'll help you up. All right, ready? You got to help me a little bit here.
Scott slides his hands under Comet's fat belly and strains to try and lift him.
Good. Okay, we almost got it. That's okay.
He comes round to face Comet.
Okay, now, help me. Can you move anything?
Comet shuts his eyes tight and strains.
Fire the hole!
Scott scrambles back with Curtis. They waft the smell away.
You eat some roughage, will you? Right. What about the jetpack?
It kind of burned up on re-entry.
Scott thinks hard.
What am I supposed to do? Grow wings?
Curtis wraps the end of a length of string around a doorknob.
I hope he doesn't have too many stops to make tonight.
The other end's round Scott's tooth.
You and me both, pal. Okay, let's just get it over with.
He shoves the door.
Okay. One... two, three!
The doorknob's yanked out and whacks Scott on the head.
What's going on down there?
Are you sure about this?
What? The old toaster trick? When we were kids, we used to do this to get a little extra cash. Works every time.
I can't watch this.
You ready, buddy?
All right. Let her rip.
One, two, three!
This time, the string's tied between Scott's tooth and a toaster, which Neil throws over the banister. Scott's pulled downstairs.
Oh, Scott!
Laura rushes over.
Scott, are you all right?
Oh.
Mom!
Oh, much better now.
Yes?
I lost another tooth. Should I put it under my pillow?
Yes.
Lucy's asleep in bed. Her windows swing open and the Tooth Fairy climbs in. He wears a blue scarf and a long blue coat, with toothbrushes and tubes of toothpaste stuffed into the pockets. He also wears a leather flying helmet with goggles on it and has two small wings which flutter on his back. He flips a coin into the air and creeps up to Lucy with a big grin. He slides the coin under her pillow as the bedroom door opens behind him. Scott reaches in and grabs one of the Tooth Fairy's wings.
By Crispin's. Hey, come on. Curtis, get the door. It's a Tooth Fairy ambush.
Curtis closes the door on the still sleeping Lucy as Scott leads the Tooth Fairy onto the landing.
What do you people want? I only carry $20 in change.
Shh, Tooth Fairy. It's me, Santa. Oh. I've lost the weight and the beard, but it's me, Santa Claus.
I know Santa. Santa is a friend of mine. And you, sir, are no Santa.
I am too, Santa. How did I know I could capture you by holding onto one of your wings? At the last meeting, you want to change your name to Captain Floss or Platman, or as I recall, Roy. Oh. And it was Santa's idea to call you the Molinator. Oh.
The Tooth Fairy looks down at Curtis.
Who's the kid? That's one of my elves. That's Curtis. He's an elf. Look.
Pinching his ears.
Ow.
Santa!
The Tooth Fairy salutes proudly.
The Mullinator at your service.
Outside.
A little altitude, please!
What?
Could you possibly fly a little higher?
What?
No! Never mind!
The Tooth Fairy flies holding Scott. Curtis hangs under them on a cable of lights and bangs into bins in a parked car. Morning. Carol wipes snow off her car.
Principal Newman?
Charlie walks over.
What is it, Charlie? You keep asking if there's something bothering me. Well, there is. I couldn't talk about it before, but I want to talk about it now.
She stops.
Okay. Go ahead. My dad is Santa. Oh, please, Charlie, not you too. Hold on. If you have no feelings for my dad, then fine. But if the only reason for not being with him is that you don't believe in him, then you're making a big mistake.
Oh, Charlie.
Here.
Charlie comes closer and unzips his school bag.
I want you to take this. Look into this and try to remember what it was like when you were little. And you still believe in Christmas.
Charlie takes the magic snow globe out of his bag and shakes it. He hands it to Carol, who watches the snow fluttering around the tiny pine trees inside. A white glow appears in the center of the globe, and Carol gazes down in amazement as fireworks go off inside the globe. She glances up at Charlie, then looks back at the globe, enthralled, as the shower of fireworks fade to reveal a tiny Elfsburg.
Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing.
She laughs, enthralled.
You haven't seen anything yet.
Scott, Curtis, and the Tooth Fairy land on Santa's bedroom balcony.
Curtis!
What? No!
What do I do? Slow down.
Okay. Piece of cake. Attaboy. There you go.
Why can't you fly higher?
Tooth Fairy.
I want to thank you. I'll never forget this.
I wish I could do more, but I gotta go. Denver just started a new Pee Wee Hockey League.
Hey, before you go, I want you to know that nobody was braver than you were today. You should be proud of your wings.
They're not too girly.
Not on you.
The Tooth Fairy hugs Scott. His wings flutter and Curtis watches with a big smile. The Tooth Fairy lowers his goggles and flies off.
Wouldn't it be easier to just go through the workshop?
No, that way Santa and his soldiers would be expecting this. Listen, sound military strategy involves taking your enemy by surprise. It's good strategy.
He opens the door and sees three waiting soldiers.
Sometimes being a despot is a tough business.
The sign reads 19 minutes till Christmas. The elves are locked in the workshop and Scott and Curtis are tied up.
It's Scott, isn't it?
Yeah, what are you supposed to be?
A better, stronger version of what you used to be. With a flawless complexion, I might add. Look, it just glistens. Listen to me. I'm back now. So untie us. Let the elves go and give me back the coat.
Toy Santa makes a big show of pretending to think about it.
No can do! It's Christmas Eve. I have coal to deliver. I don't want those naughty kids to suffer. Boys, one!
Toy Santa marches off with his giant soldiers.
And one, two, try to keep
up. Scott and Curtis try to get free.
This is just too tight.
This is all my fault. I thought I could create another Santa. My elf and pride blinded me to all reason. There's only one Santa.
Well, I've done a pretty rotten job. I didn't check the list twice. My kid thinks I betrayed him. I hurt the woman I love. I ruined Christmas.
Scott sighs miserably, then looks around as a light sprinkling of snow falls around them. He looks up as Charlie abseils down from the skylight on a length of rope.
Charlie, how'd you get up here?
Charlie grins. One of his front teeth is missing. Carol floats down, clinging onto the Tooth Fairy.
Scott, I got to fly in with the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah. You okay?
Yeah.
Brush between meals, and don't forget the floss. And if anybody cares, I'm exhausted. And she has a beautiful smile.
Thank you for everything, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I am the Mullinator!
The Tooth Fairy points at the sky, then flies up through the skylight and into the blue yonder.
Woo! I need some help, come on!
Scott runs off and Carol, Charlie and Curtis follow him. A little later, the elves have been freed and follow the others through the workshop towards the stables. Toy Santa sits in the sleigh wearing his red costume and jerks the reins. The reindeer charge forward. They pull the sleigh up a ramp and soar into the icy blue cavern. Scott and the others reach the stables just in time to see the sleigh fly off into the distance. Bernard whistles. Chet, the reindeer, looks up and the elves clear a path.
What are you doing? You gotta save Christmas. How am I supposed to save Christmas?
Chet charges in and skids over.
No. Don't worry.
Chet bounces back and gallops at Scott, who nervously holds out his hands. Chet tries to stop, but skids along the floor. He crashes into Scott and sends him sprawling onto his back. Carol rushes over to help him up. A couple of elves are fixing reins to the reindeer.
Thanks.
Excuse me, poor chap.
Okay, Chet, this is it. You ready to rock and roll?
Chet?
Yeah, he's still in training.
How much flight time has he had?
About a minute and a half.
Hey, but he's had a lot of crash time.
Curtis?
He's just a baby.
All right. Let's see what this baby can do, all right?
Scott climbs on Chet's back.
Ready to go, buddy. You know what we gotta do. Yeah!
Chet gallops forward and rears up like a horse. He dashes up the ramp and off into the air, swerving wildly.
Chet, you gotta focus, Chet.
Scott tries to hang on. Bernard turns to the elves.
Okay, everybody, outside, now!
They all charge out. Toy Santa's in the sleigh.
How about there, boys? Let's go!
The pack of reindeer gallops through the air, pulling the sleigh behind them. Chet chases after them, bucking and swerving with Scott on his back. Bernard, Charlie and the elves burst out of the workshop and skid to a sudden halt. Rows of giant soldiers stand facing them, with their arms held out stiffly.
Snowballs on three! One!
The elves crouch down.
Two!
They grab handfuls of snow, then stand and make snowballs. They aim them at the soldiers and Bernard psychs himself up.
Three!
The elves, Carol and Charlie release a volley of snowballs at the soldiers. The soldiers stand still and let the snowballs explode against their heads and bodies. When the barrage has died down, Bernard stares at the motionless soldiers with a hopeful smile. The soldiers tilt forward.
Okay, elves!
Then advance on the elves.
Let's get them!
The elves charge. The reindeers pull Toy Santa's sleigh through the air as Chet and Scott gallop up beside them.
That's a bar!
Whoa, Chet!
Back for more action, eh, Scooter?
Toy Santa laughs and Chet gabbles at him.
Cut the chit-chat, Chet! Why is this such a problem? Come on, where do you think you're going, Scott? Go!
Scott urges Chet on towards the front of the pack.
Faster!
Chet reaches the front of the team.
The lead, the one in the front, Chet!
Leave my reindeer alone!
The sleigh approaches the hole in the subterranean ice.
Come on! We gotta get them before they get out the hole! Come on! Stay away from my lead reindeer!
Scott leaps off Chet and onto the front reindeer.
Woo! Oh! Anna, he's an action hero!
Toy Santa yanks the reins and the pack of reindeer gallop up towards the hole in the dome of thick ice. Scott grabs hold of the rein on the lead reindeer and steers the pack to the left. The reindeers miss the hole and gallop back towards Elfsburg. Back on the ground, Bernard and another elf race along in snowmobiles. A length of ribbon is tied between them and they trip up soldiers.
What the heck are you doing up there? I can't see where I'm driving!
Scott jumps back onto another reindeer.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Scott climbs down onto a shaft between the reindeer.
You're gonna fall.
I hope.
Scott creeps closer to the sleigh.
That's a good way to lose an eye.
Scott slips and nearly falls, but hangs on.
Oh, look out! You're scaring me!
Scott hauls himself up and balances on the backs of the reindeer at the rear of the team. Toy Santa looks up at him.
Can I help you?
Honey, I'm home!
Toy Santa yanks back the reins. Scott flies over the sleigh and just manages to grab a rail.
Loser!
Scott loses his grip, then quickly grabs the rail with his other hand as the speeding sleigh steers back round and charges towards the hole in the ice. Back in Elfsburg, elves storm out of the workshop holding their power tools. They converge on a couple of soldiers and quickly dismantle them. Nearby, three more elves laugh excitedly as they kick two soldiers in the shins. Abby screams as a soldier lurches towards her and traps her against a balcony. Charlie suddenly drops down on the end of a line, holds onto Abby's waist and zooms back up into the sky with her. More elves rush out onto the balcony and spray silly string into the soldier's face. The soldier gets covered in it and topples over. Toy Santa races towards the hole in the ice as Scott clambers up into the back of the sleigh and tries to pull Toy Santa's red coat off. They fight with each other.
Hey, I'm supposed to wear this coat. How about a little elbow for you? There you go. That's right. Oh, that's gonna feel good. You want the show? Take it off. Go ahead.
Scott tries to pull Toy Santa's boot off. Toy Santa loses his grip on the reins and the sleigh nosedives towards Elfsburg.
Huh? Oh, you want to get into it now? Party pants.
They're on a collision course.
Watch out, Mo! Don't load the building that way!
Oh, well, the town will break the fall!
The sleigh hits a chimney and breaks loose of the reindeer. It plummets to the ground, smashes into a soldier, then skids along, plowing into soldiers and smashing them to bits. The sleigh hits the workshop steps and comes to a halt. Toy Santa flies out and lands flat on his back on the steps. Elves pile onto him.
Get off of me! Now remember, rules are very important. I want hot chocolate.
Hey guys, back up. I've got a very special place for him.
Elves turn the pantograph to reduce as Charlie runs over to Scott.
And we're great.
Sounds like you're pretty good too.
We've got 10 minutes. We gotta go.
Where's Carol?
I promise I'll be good.
Carol, are you all right?
Yes.
Where are you going? You should know this, number one. It's Christmas time. I gotta deliver gifts.
But Santa, aren't you forgetting something?
No.
You gotta get married.
Excuse me?
Carol looks confused as Scott glances at his Santa clothes.
Carol, I cannot continue being Santa unless I find a Mrs. Claus.
Oh, so that's what the whole noodles and pie thing, you just needed to find a wife.
No.
No.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, I was looking for a wife. No, I didn't figure on falling in love.
Charlie grins and Carol looks surprised.
You love me?
Scott gazes at Carol and nods.
This is all happening so fast.
Well, there's no pressure.
Good.
I mean, if I don't get married, I just won't deliver the gifts. And children everywhere will stop believing.
The elves will lose their jobs. The North Pole will disappear and Christmas will be gone.
Abby sneaks up behind Scott and whispers furtively.
Get down one knee. Do it. Now.
Scott gets down on one knee and looks up at Carol.
Say, Carol.
Scott glances at Abby, then turns back to Carol.
Carol.
Yeah.
You say this is happening all so fast.
You say this is happening all so fast.
But you've known me your whole life.
Let alone
Santa.
I can take it from here. Santa was always there for you. And I will be there for you, as long as you continue to believe in me. I know I'm asking you to leave everything at home, but I can guarantee you that this is worth it. This place. And occasionally a thin crust pizza, and a movie on a long winter night.
Is there a school here?
Scott looks over to Bernard, who nods urgently.
We have one of school. The elves have been acting a bit impish.
He glances down at Abby, who grins and folds her arms. Carol smiles broadly, and Scott holds her hands.
Carol.
He looks shyly round at the elves.
I love you. Would you be my wife?
Carol looks emotional. Abby steps up to her.
I will. Thank
and shrugs as she tries to gather her thoughts.
I will.
She beams, and Scott hugs her tightly. A little later, they both stand in front of Mother Nature.
By the powers vested in me, by me, I now pronounce you Santa and Mrs. Claus. Come on now. Kiss her.
The congregation of elves look on as Scott and the smiling Carol turn to face each other. They kiss. The Tooth Fairy watches and his wings flutter. The clock strikes midnight. Scott's belly wobbles and swells as Santa stands up and Charlie feels inside his mouth. His missing tooth has come back.
We gotta go.
Watch out, guys, we gotta go.
We get back to make some more toys.
Santa leads Carol over to his sleigh, and he and Charlie get in. Santa looks down at Carol.
All right.
Well, Mrs. Claus, you might want to get some rest.
You see, tomorrow begins vacation season for me, which means a 3-month honeymoon for us.
He puts his red hat on.
Nothing tropical. You do not want to see this at a Speedo.
He points to his big belly.
Don't be home too late.
And so it begins. Boys, we've got some toys to deliver. Yeah!
Yeah! Santa snaps the reins and the reindeer charge forward and up into the air, pulling the sleigh behind them. The elves wave at the sleigh as it thunders up and away from Elfsburg. Lucy lies fast asleep in bed as Charlie quietly steps into her room and sits on the edge of the bed. He gently shakes her shoulder.
Lucy.
She wakes up.
What, Charlie?
Come downstairs with me. I want you to see something.
Charlie carries the sleepy Lucy down the stairs and into the living room. He sits on the arm of the sofa and faces the fireplace where a small fire is crackling in the grate.
Lucy. Watch this.
He nods to the fire. Lucy's eyes widen in amazement as the fireplace expands to the size of a doorway and Santa drops down into the grate. He steps out onto the hearth and the fireplace shrinks back to its normal size. Santa creeps over to Lucy. Santa leans down to her with a glint in his eye.
Do you have any twos?
Goldfish, you are Santa! I knew it was you all along!
And you were right.
Uncle Scott, you look all rosy. Are you feeling better?
I'm feeling much, much better.
Is there anything else I should know about?
I don't know. But you know, I think Charlie has something he wants to tell you.
Okay.
She turns to Charlie.
You know, Lucy, I was exactly your age when I found out my dad was Santa. But I couldn't tell anybody.
I can't tell anybody either.
No, but knowing it isn't a burden.
He looks up at Santa.
It's a gift. You know, most kids stop believing in Santa when they grow up. But I get to believe in him forever.
I love you, Charlie. Thank you.
Lucy and Charlie hug. Charlie and Santa beam at each other as Lucy suddenly spins round.
But do we still get toys?
If you ever get to bed and go to sleep like the other kids.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, Lucy.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Sport, I gotta fly.
The fireplace grows again and Santa steps inside. He's sucked back up the chimney as Lucy turns to Charlie in amazement. Lucy and...
Easy, boys, easy. There you go. And you're getting it, Chet.
At the front of the team, Chet stumbles as Santa's sleigh stops and floats in the air. Santa waves down at Charlie and Lucy, who wave back. Santa reaches over and rubs...
Merry Christmas, Comet!
Comet smiles down at Charlie and Lucy as they wave at the sleigh. Lucy grins at Charlie and hugs him.
All right, boy! Yeah! Ho, ho, ho!
The sleigh gallops off into the...
Nothing wrong with a straight line, Chet! Chet! Chet!
Golden letters spell out the end. ITFC audio description was written by Amy DeLarabiti, at Santa Coat. She dances as she sings into a candy cane. Cast: Scott Calvin, Santa and Toy Santa, Tim Allen. Carol, Elizabeth Mitchell. Bernard, David Krumholtz. Charlie Calvin, Eric Lloyd. Neil Miller, Judge Reinhold, Spencer Breslin. Abby, Daniela Woodman. Tooth Fairy, Art LaFleur. Mother Nature, Aisha Tyler. Cupid, Kevin Pollock. Toy Santa is now small again and dances with some other mechanical toy Santas on a display outside a toy shop. He calls to the others.
Hey!
Clockwork.
Dance! Dance like this! All of us! Everybody, you idiots! Hey, lady! What's this? Ever seen a toy do this?
He freezes.
Where you going? Woo!
Easter Bunny Jay Thomas. Sandman Michael Dorn. Engineer Elf 1 Christopher Atavia. Elf Center Curtis Bouchard. Elf Quarterback Jamal Allen. Richie Elf Tight End Alexander Pollock. Engineer Elf 2 Bryce Hodgson. Tracy Molly Shannon. Spanish Teacher Carmen Aguirre. Grace, Leanna Darchi, John Pierce, Blue Man Kuma, Picardo, Andrew Stone, Pamela, Kenya Joe Kennedy, Pamela's mother, Jan Mortiel, Danielle, Alexandra Purvis, Security guard Fred Keating. Seismic interpreter Fred Juanowick. C-130 pilot Dan Droff. It's getting kinda hot in here. Engineer J.B. Bivens. Elf with kangaroo Alexander Hoy. Hangdog teacher Bart Anderson. Female teacher Beverly Elliott. Teachers D'Neil Mark, Ted Cole, Nicola LaRue, Beatrice Zellinger, Michael P. Northey, Alejandro Abelan, June B. Wilder-Amico, Charles Payne and Gary Jones. Reindeer Victor Brandt. Voice of Chet, Kath Susie. Voice of Comet, Bob Bergen. Screenplay by Don Reimer, Chinko Paul and Ken Dario, and Ed Dechter and John J. Strauss. Production designer Tony Burrow. Director of Photography Adam Greenberg, ASC. Executive producers Rick Messina, Richard Baker and James Miller. Produced by Brian Riley, Bobby Neumeier and Jeffrey Silver. Associate producers Bruce Franklin and Matt Carroll. Script supervisor Christina Weigman. Boarding mixers Terry Porter, Mel Metcalf and Dine Zupancic. Supervising sound editors Robert L. Sefton and George Watters II. Effects editors F. Hudson Miller, MPSC, R.J. Palmer, MPSC and Don Maloof. Dialogue supervisor Jessica Gallivan. ADR editor Julie Finer. ADR voice casting Terry Douglas. Foley supervisor Matthew Harrison. Foley editor Gary Wright. Foley artists Stan O'Connell and John Cucci. Foley mixer James Ashwell. First Cucci and Melissa Michael Ham. Recordist Judy Nord. Score recorded and mixed by Steve Kempster. Orchestrations by Susie Katayama and Rick Giovinazzo. Orchestra conducted by George S. Clinton. Supervising music editor Michael U. Music editor Tractor Debbie Datz Pyle. Choir contractor Bobby Page. Music preparation Booker White. Walt Disney Music Library. Songs. Santa Claus is Coming to Town, written by J. Fred Revell and Steve West, performed by Danger Danger. Man, I Feel Like a Woman, written by R.J. Lang and Shania Twain. Fourth Floor Ladies' Shoes, written and performed by Daniel May. Blue Holiday, written by Luther Dixon and Willie Denson and performed by The Shirelles. Steve Morris, Pat Kim, performed by Unwritten Law, featuring Sum 41. Run, Rudolph, Run, written by Marvin Brosh and Johnny Marks, performed by Chuck Berry. Everybody Loves Christmas, written by Eddie Money and Kurt Cuomo, performed by Eddie Money and Ronnie Spector. Rad, Jay Lander, Hilary Duff. Santa's Got a Brand New Bag, written by Jason Deary and Christine Osborne, performed by She Daisy. Santa Claus is Coming to Town, written by J. Fred Coote and Haven Gillespie, performed by Steve Tyrrell. Soundtrack available on Walt Disney Records. Harmed in the making of this film, too. Copyright 2002, Disney Enterprises, Inc. This motion picture was created by North Pole Productions, Inc. for purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution. Santa Claus is coming. Cat wearing boxer shorts and boxing in cat films. A white light arcs over a light blue silhouette of the Disney castle. Walt Disney Pictures.